Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Phantom Phone by Clara. I used to have a second job with a property management company in my city. It wasn't anything special. I only had to clean office spaces 3 days a week, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Easy money, and I usually didn't have to deal with people. Most of the places I cleaned were half empty, waiting on new tenants. So the work was usually just dust, trash, and making things look presentable, just in case. I have a story about one of the buildings I think you'll like. It was a four-story office complex that didn't have a lot of other businesses around it. There were a few tenants on the first floor, an insurance office, a law firm, and a payroll company, but the upper floors were almost completely vacant. Lights were off, signs were gone, and most of the doors were locked, with no names on them anymore. Since I usually started at 6, most of the daytime tenants would already be gone, and I worked alone. But by the time I got to this building, it was usually close to 9. The parking lot would be nearly empty, except for my car. Nothing exciting happened the first couple of weeks. I cleaned the first floor, emptied the trash, vacuumed and wiped down bathrooms. Then I'd go upstairs and do quick passes through the vacant suites, mostly just checking for dust buildup or leaks. I only had to actually clean up here once a week. Those upper floors were silent in a way that felt exaggerated. Maybe because they were completely empty for the most part. No sign that anybody had been there, aside from a couple leftover chairs and a desk at the reception area. I also didn't wear headphones when I worked because it made me feel vulnerable, as weird as that sounds. One night, I was on the third floor, mopping the hallway outside a row of empty offices. I heard a phone ring across the other side of the floor. I thought it was weird because I never noticed any phones up there. I ignored it though and kept working, assuming it was coming from the first floor and carrying up through the stairwell. But then I realized it was one of those old-fashioned ringers, like what you hear from an old wind-up cooking timer. And it wasn't stopping. It kept ringing at the same steady pace, and after about a minute, it really started to bother me. I stood still and really tried to pinpoint where it was coming from. I could tell it wasn't below me. It was close. I followed it down the hallway until I stopped in front of a closed office door at the very end. I could tell the ringing was coming from inside. But I looked through the large window by the door, and it was completely empty. No lights were on in the office. But I did have the hall lights on, so I had a clear view of the whole office, which was the size of a small bedroom. In other words, I had a clear view, and would have been able to see a phone in there. I tried to open the door, but it was locked. I stood there listening for a few more seconds, until it cut off mid-ring, like someone had picked it up. I listened for a bit longer, but everything went back to being silent again. I took a closer look inside, and I still didn't see a phone anywhere. Again, this office was empty. I wrapped up what I was doing and went home. It was weird, but I wasn't worked up about it or anything. But when I went back 2 nights later to do a quick walkthrough, I heard it again, coming from the same office. I'll go ahead and mention that I'm not convinced ghosts are real, but I've never been closed off to the idea. This time I was a lot closer to that office, only about 20 feet away. I felt that weird hesitation you get when something doesn't make sense, but you don't want to admit it to yourself. I walked over, and it was just like before. The hallway lights were on, the door was locked, and inside, the lights were off. This time I pressed my ear against the window, and the ringing was unmistakable, like a phone was just a few feet away, not muffled or coming from a different room. And just like last time, it went on for a little longer, until it suddenly stopped mid-ring. There wasn't anything left to clean, so I immediately noped out of there. I called my supervisor the next day and told her about everything I experienced. She didn't seem concerned, and sorry to say, she didn't mention any haunted lore. But she did say all the lines on the third floor were disconnected years ago, and that she made sure all the vacant offices were empty before locking the doors. I kept working that building, and for a few nights, nothing happened. I was on edge any time I'd pass through that hallway, though. Then, one of the nights I had to actually clean the third floor, it rang again. This time I was already done with everything, and was making my way back to leave. I stopped and turned around, and just stared down the hallway toward that office, feeling irritated more than scared. Even though I never saw a phone, I still felt like it was somebody who kept calling and couldn't take a hint. I texted my boss to let her know I still heard it. I left as it was still ringing. The next morning, she called me and asked if I could start my shift the following evening at that building so she could meet me there and for me to show her which office it was coming from. I said sure. We made our way up to the third floor, as she's telling me that she's positive there aren't any phone lines or internet on the third floor. We walked up to that office, and before she goes to unlock the door, she jiggled the handle. The door opened. She raised her eyebrows and looked at me. Then I followed her in, really confused. I forgot to mention, I would check if that door was still locked each time I passed by, ever since hearing the ringing for the first time. Nobody else went up there or had a key. Nothing notable to mention about the office. It was still completely empty. The carpet was dusty and undisturbed, like no one had stepped inside in months. There was no explanation. I did ask her to keep the door unlocked and opened, for my own sanity. She did. I heard the ringing only once after that, but it was weeks later, and by now it wasn't even really on my mind anymore. This is probably the only part of the story that actually disturbs me, though. I was sweeping the hallway, and I'd just passed the office. The door was still open, and I heard the ringer go off. It was just for a quick second, though. So when I say I heard it once more after my boss went up there with me, it was literally one single ring, loud enough to make me jump. I'm positive that I didn't imagine it. And just like before, I noped out of there. I was starting evening classes in just a couple of weeks, so I asked my boss if I could just avoid the third floor altogether until I was done working for her. She playfully laughed at me and said that it was fine. I have no explanation. I also asked my boss to let me know if they did find anything out. She said that she would. But part of me is even more bothered by that door being unlocked.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto.
America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I Can See the Future by SBBS 2006. I have always experienced a sort of déjà vu, or moments when I see parts or snippets of the future. The first premonition I can remember happened when I was 11. I always traveled the same road while coming back from math tuition. Always. But one day, when I was coming back at around 7 or 7:30 in the evening, I suddenly stopped and looked across the street. I couldn't explain it back then, and I can't explain it now. I just stopped and kept staring at a spot on the road. I was pulled out of my trance by my father, who used to accompany me back home from tuitions. Now, the next morning, I woke up and heard on the news that a neighbor had died being run over by a truck late at night. And I didn't think much about why I had gone into a trance because I tend to forget these things. But later, maybe 2 or 3 days after this, we came to know from the wife of the deceased where he had died. It was the exact location where I had been staring that day. I told this to my mother, and to my surprise, she believed me. I guess all mothers just believe their children. Then it started to become stronger. Last time, I was just looking with no thoughts, and I didn't really understand what was happening. One day when I was maybe 13, I don't really remember exactly, I woke up suddenly with a jolt. As soon as I sat up, I opened my eyes and I felt dizzy. It was early in the morning and my parents were in the other room. My father was getting ready for his job and my mother was preparing breakfast. The first thought that came to my mind, the moment I woke up, was, someone is going to die today. It was around 7 in the morning at that time. At around 8:30 or 8:45, when my father was having his breakfast, he got a call from a relative that we don't really talk to. I was right once again. My father's aunt had died. People say I look, act, and speak like her, so maybe there's some connection there, but this is just me guessing. Even our fingers and toes match, which was a weird detail. No one in the family has nails or fingers like us, because they point up. I mean, they're slanting, whatever, it's weird. But we've met only once, so I don't think there's a connection. The next one happened after COVID. I was 16, I believe, maybe 15. I was sleeping in the afternoon, and I had a dream that my aunt had come over and asked my mother for a money plant. She was wearing a bright pink salwar, which is an upper garment in India, and black trousers. I woke up at around 4 in the evening, and I didn't have any memory of the dream. I do tend to forget these things. Around 6, my aunt came by after running some errands, and since our house was nearby, she stopped to have tea with us. She was wearing the same outfit from top to bottom. Suddenly, I remembered my dream, and I said, "Did you ask my mother for a money plant?" My mom was sitting with us, and she said yes, but asked how I knew. She said she had never talked to me about plants, and my aunt agreed. My cousins and I despise plants, so nobody talks about them. I said that I had a dream about it just now. She then said that sometimes people see stuff like that, and we just moved on. I also had this one dream when I was young. I don't remember when. I was somewhere with an arched entrance. The inside was lined with cars. A guy came to me and said, "Go and sit in the red car." Years later, when I was 15, I was vacationing with my parents on an island miles away from where we live. It was my first time visiting this place. We had a tour guide with us. I got off of the ship that brought us to the island and looked at the entrance, and it clicked. I thought, is he going to ask us to get into the red car? Moments later, he did. He told us to go and sit in the red car. My world literally stopped and I started shaking. Another time, I once had a dream where I was in a huge open area that was decorated beautifully. It was dusk. I was being followed by the spirits or ghosts of two children. They were holding onto my hair and following me everywhere. I tried to escape, but I couldn't. Recently, my parents asked me if I would go with them to the mall, and I agreed. I had never been to that mall because it was a bit far from my house. One of my friends said that we would take their car, so it was all right. I never really go out because I'm a homebody, and I haven't been to many places. I never Google the places I'm going to because I think not knowing where I'm going is half of the fun. If I look it up, my experience is kind of ruined. But I had this peculiar feeling in my gut that I had to Google this place. I didn't initially because I wanted it to be a surprise, but eventually I decided to do so. And to my horror, it was the exact same place where I had dreamt of being chased by two ghosts. The mall had three buildings, the lawn or open area, which was surrounded by the mall on three sides. The moment that I saw that open area, I knew that was the place, and I remembered my dream. I told it to my mother, and she literally did not let me go there. I kind of wanted to go because I wanted to confirm whether what I see in my dreams is true. But it probably isn't the best idea to be chased by ghost children. One important detail about my dreams is that I always see them when I'm half asleep. It's when I wake up from good sleep, but go back to sleep right after. I'm kind of in that half-asleep, half-awake state. I had another dream where I saw a girl standing at the foot of my bed wearing pink pants and a light pink top. She was just staring at me. I didn't even look at her properly, but the first thought that crossed my mind was, this is my daughter. Then I noticed she had the same hair and nose as me, but her eyes were smaller and very deep-set. Now my mother jokes that when I start dating, if I ever find a guy who has small, deep-set eyes, that might be my husband. I try not to think too much about these things, but 2 weeks ago I had a dream that someone was going to die on the 30th of January in my house. I'm scared that it might be my mom. I'm pretty sure she was the one who died in my dream, although it wasn't very clear. My mom is pretty sick. I'm scared and I hope I can alter my dreams, but in my dreams, I feel like I'm not there. I can see what's happening, but my body isn't present. The only thing I can feel are my eyes. I also saw one of my cousin's firstborn children dying. She isn't even married yet, but I saw it. I saw her baby boy dying. I saw him going away from us. I wish I never had these dreams. Sometimes they're just too much, even for someone like me who is very mentally strong and not emotional at all. I think this started when I was 8, when I saw my PE teacher at school who had died a year prior. But that's a story for another time.
Handprints on My Mirror by Christine. I kept this story short, but I think it's worth sharing. Curious what you guys think. I recently moved into a small apartment above a restaurant in Seattle. Please don't mention the restaurant name for my own privacy. A few nights a week, usually pretty late, I sometimes walk past my bathroom and see that the mirror is fogged over. Like someone just took a hot shower. The thing is, I live alone and shower in the mornings. At first, I figured it had something to do with the pipes or humidity rising from below me. But the bathroom window is never fogged up, so I just wipe the mirror and go about my evening. After a couple of weeks, I started paying more attention to when it happened. It was never during the day. Always at night, and not every night, just often enough that I noticed the pattern. The rest of the bathroom would be completely dry, no steam in the air, just condensation on the mirror. Then one night, I noticed faint handprints on the mirror. Not super clear like in the movies, but visible enough that I could tell where they were. Two of them, spread apart, about shoulder height. They weren't smeared or sliding downward. They were just there. I've been trying to convince myself that I'd somehow done it earlier and forgotten, even though the spacing didn't really make sense. I also always wiped it off with a cloth. Last weekend, I sprayed it down really good with glass cleaner. After my shower, it fogged up, and there weren't any handprints. I wiped it down again with the cloth and made sure not to touch it with my hands. Literally yesterday, I came home from work and saw those same handprints over my fogged up mirror. The shower wasn't wet. No signs of anybody being in my apartment. I have a small security system with a camera, so I checked the video. Nothing. What could this be? What should I do?
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Green Figure by Cass Siege. When I was around 7 or 8 years old, I experienced something that still gives me chills whenever I think about it. I want to share exactly what happened and see if anyone has experienced something similar. One evening, I was in my bed upstairs, fully awake, sitting and playing with toys. Both my bedroom light and the living room light downstairs were on. My parents were in the living room and I was alone upstairs. From my bed, I had a clear view of a large, frosted, and patterned glass window located on a stairwell that connects the ground floor to the upper floor. The window faces our yard, not the street, and it's positioned high enough that it would be impossible for a person to reach from outside. At some point, a green silhouette of a head appeared in the frosted glass. The outline looked strange, kind of sketchy. It didn't quite look solid. The head was positioned sideways the entire time, not facing me directly at any moment. In front of the head, there was what looked like an arm and a hand, and the figure made a clear "come here" gesture with its finger. What disturbed me the most was that the face appeared to be smiling, even though it was only seen in profile. I was absolutely awake, not having sleep paralysis. I wasn't drowsy or in a dream state. I was sitting upright and conscious the entire time. I began to cry, and my parents heard and started to walk upstairs. The moment I heard their footsteps touch the floor, the silhouette didn't vanish instantly. Instead, it shifted sideways, as if it had moved further behind the wall, remaining in profile and never turning to face me. After my parents calmed me down, they went back downstairs. A short time later, the same thing happened again. Nothing like this has happened to me since, but the memory has stayed with me. It's so extremely vivid. I still get goosebumps when I recall it.
Where Did the Frog Go? By Vincent. I have this small sentimental object that I keep on my dresser. Nothing valuable, just something personal. It's a small, heavy brass trinket of a boy, sitting down with a frog in his lap. It belonged to my little brother, who passed away in 2012, when I was a teenager. I'm not obsessive about it, but I notice it every day. it's always sat in the same spot for years, right by this wooden bowl I put my keys and wallet in every night. One morning, it disappeared. I checked the floor around the dresser, then under the bed and around my nightstand. I even pulled my dresser back from the wall, and it wasn't there either. I was really freaking out, mostly because I swear I saw it when I put my keys and wallet away the night before. At the very least, I would have noticed it was missing. All I could do was look for it later, since I had to leave for work. When I got home at 4:30, I looked harder. I emptied out the top drawer of the dresser completely. I checked jacket pockets, laundry baskets, backpacks, the bathroom counter, kitchen table, places I wouldn't even have absent-mindedly moved it to. At one point, I even looked inside my pillowcase and pulled my bed out from the wall. Over the next few days, I kept searching. Not obsessively, but thoroughly. I live alone and don't have a lot of things. I also keep things pretty tidy, so there weren't many places it could hide. I checked all around the dresser I don't know how many times, and even cleared off the entire surface. I moved the wooden bowl to my nightstand. After about a week, I was really worried that I somehow lost it, but I had to tell myself it would turn up eventually. It was the only thing of my brother's that I kept for myself. Then, one afternoon, I came home from work and walked straight into my bedroom to change. It was on top of my dresser, all by itself, right where it sat next to the bowl, as if the bowl were still there. I wish I could have seen my face. I don't think I've ever been so mind-blown in my life. I stood there for a long time, just staring at it. Eventually, I felt relief, but man, what a trip. I walked up and touched it to make sure I wasn't imagining things. I even did the thing where you poke your hands to check if you're dreaming. I wasn't dreaming. Nothing was out of place, and I live in a really quiet area with no crime. But even if somebody broke in and took it while I was asleep, why would they have left my wallet? And why would they have returned this? I still have it in the same spot. It hasn't disappeared since. I'm thinking about putting up a small shelf on the wall, just to rule out any chance of it accidentally being knocked off. But what freaks me out the most isn't that it disappeared out of nowhere. It's that it seemed to have come back in a way that felt deliberate, like it was returned to me. Maybe my brother was saying hi. I'll never be able to convince myself that I simply overlooked it.
My Dad and Aunt Saw Something as Kids by Stark Burnham. I grew up in a very religious family. My grandfather on my dad's side was a pastor. Nobody in the family believes in aliens, ghosts, or anything paranormal. And that said, my dad and aunt have a story that no one has ever been able to explain. According to my dad, in 1978, when he was about 6 years old, and my aunt was three, they were alone in the living room one afternoon while my grandmother was in the backyard washing clothes. Suddenly, my aunt saw something through the window and screamed. My dad looked and saw something that looked like a man in the garden. My dad was lying on the couch and realized he couldn't move. My aunt was also terrified and unable to move. My dad describes the feeling as if he were floating. This thing or person started getting closer by jumping. It jumped over the wall, then over the gate, then over the low wall of the porch, ending up right in front of the house. Both of them felt like the man was speaking directly inside their heads, but neither of them remembers what was said. When it reached the window, it jumped high onto the roof. Only then were they able to move again. They ran outside and saw the man standing on the roof, looking at them, still speaking, saying something that they don't remember. Then it seemed to slide backward and suddenly disappear. The whole thing lasted maybe 2 to 3 minutes. After it vanished, my aunt started crying and even wet herself. My dad ran to get my grandmother, but she said she hadn't seen anything. When my grandmother asked my aunt what happened, my aunt said she had seen God. According to my dad, it was a humanoid being, short and thin, with a head that was too big for its body. It had very large eyes, about the size of saucers, with pupils and no eyelids. It had holes where the nose should be, and a mouth with no lips. It was wearing a tight suit that went all the way up to its neck, kind of like a diving suit, metallic and purple, and the skin tone was almost the same as the suit. My dad is colorblind, so he isn't sure about the color, but he's 100% certain it was not green or gray. During the entire experience, there was a constant sound that both my dad and my aunt described as a deep buzzing, kind of like cicadas. When the being spoke, they felt a copper taste in their mouth. After that day, my dad says there were several moments in his life where he felt like he was floating again, but didn't see that being. Of course, my grandmother said they were just imagining things and the family brushed it off. But something clearly happened that day, and it has never been explained. Interestingly, around the same time, there was an official investigation happening here in Brazil involving UFO sightings. Does anyone have any idea what this could have been?
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
get to some listener feedback here. Dan the Mantis says, thanks for covering my story. It's so strange hearing one of these on the podcast and knowing it's your own experience. And every time I hear my story, it's giving me flashbacks of that night. It gives me tingles up my spine. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Thanks for writing in. We definitely enjoyed that one. And I really hope to see more submissions from Scotland.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I think there's no greater honor than having somebody tell you that the way you narrated their story gave them chills. There's one that I wanted to read from Spotty King. They said, I thought I was getting abducted by aliens when I was driving home at night, when a beam of light illuminated my truck. I looked up towards the source, seeing nothing at first but white, and for a split second I was panicking, not even paying attention to the road anymore. Then a huge roar filled the air, and the light moved past me. It was an airplane landing, and I was driving past the beginning of a runway. Safe to say, I was wide awake for the rest of the drive home.
That's so funny.
Wow, it makes it sound like they were driving on the runway, in which case that's some pretty janky security. I actually know a few people that work airplane maintenance, and a lot of that requires driving around in these little bread trucks to bring parts out there and install them and everything, and working late at night, and a lot of them are heavy drinkers and gamers, so you can imagine being out on a flight line, operating on no sleep at like 3 in the morning, 3 a.m. But anyway, I knew somebody who wasn't paying attention. He just drove out onto the actual runway itself and just barely missed an aircraft like land on top of this truck that he was driving.
Wow.
Yeah, it was right over his head. He wasn't paying attention. Everything becomes white noise at that point, all the hustle and bustle of everybody working around you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he nearly got caked by an airplane landing.
That's scary.
It is. Yeah. So you got lucky, Spotty King. Good for you. Yeah. Stay alert.
Mm-hmm. Loretta says, and Loretta's back saying, happy I found you. I don't feel so alone in the things that I've experienced since hearing everyone's stories. My supernatural gift is premonition dreams, which we'll get into in talking about some of the stories
we
this week.
We always do.
Yep. I once dreamed my brother was in the attic and he fell onto his back. It was one of those visceral dreams. I called my brother and he said that he was fine. I told him to be careful. I found out he was hiding from the cops in his attic during our call. And after our call, he fell onto his back and he's now paralyzed. I'm sorry for laughing at it's more laughing out of just nervousness.
Loretta, you never fail us with your comments. That was, wow. I feel like hiding in your own attic isn't the best place to hide from the cops, but I mean, I'm not going to criticize a recently paralyzed man.
Yeah.
But wow, yikes. Yeah. I don't know how you deal with that. That's a lot to handle.
Yeah, that's heavy. It's a heavy burden to have to go through these prophetic dreams and watch them unfold in front of you. It's definitely not a curse I would want. And finally, Discord, there was a lot of talk about Inspector Gadget originally airing in the 80s. And it turns out it first aired in 1983, and that was 42 years ago. And to put that into perspective, us talking about Inspector Gadget today would be like people talking about a TV show from 1940 when Inspector Gadget came out in 1983. Does that make you nauseated?
A little bit. But I mean, then again, we talk about movies from the 40s today. I think Maltese Falcon and Rebecca were both early 40s, if not 1940, mm-hmm. 1941. So yeah, we're going to be talking about Inspector Gadget for another 42 years, I'm sure.
It's just wild that it was something from our childhood, and talking about it now is like back then we were talking about something from the 1940s. It's disgusting. Yeah. It makes me mad.
Austin Powers is younger than we are now, so there's that.
Yeah. Anyways, let's jump into some stories. I want to talk about your phone story.
Yeah, that was makes me never want to clean any office buildings at any point. Mm-hmm. The entire time, though, I was imagining the Office Space office, even though it's only one story, I believe. Every office I think of, it's always from Office Space. Or maybe Wolf of Wall Street. Those are the two ones that I envision. Anyway, that doesn't matter. The point is, well, what is the point here? The door was unlocked when she went back to go look at it with her boss, which I find to be probably the most concerning thing here, because she checked that door where she heard the ringing from. And of course, there's no phones in there. It was completely empty. And I'm not going to suggest that the ringing came from somewhere else, because you know where a sound is coming from. Just like with my loud bangs thing, it didn't come from outside. I know what I heard. It wasn't in my head. Mm-hmm. So for her to have heard it through that office and been wide awake, puts her ear up to the door or the window and hears it from that room and checked everywhere else and definitely knew it was coming from there.
Yeah.
I really don't know. And it was weird that it was one of those old style ringers too. Normally you would think one of those like Cisco phones, you know?
Yeah. The only skeptical way I can try to explain this away is that there was somebody in there in the office with the door locked. So they didn't want anybody bothering them and they forgot to turn their ringer off. Maybe their ringer was the old fashioned style ringer. I hear a lot of older folks use that one, and it's very, very loud.
On their iPhones, yeah. Well, the only thing is, like, she checked both times with her boss and by herself. She was able to look straight in, and it was completely empty. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
I'm still just trying to be a little more skeptical and level-headed about things. I'm not trying to be devil's advocate. I'm just trying to figure things out.
Yeah, no, it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't things. If we fully take a story at face value, people think we're just too gullible. And if we're too skeptical, we get criticized for being closed-minded. So
yeah,
whatever. We're just here. We're just reading stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and going to one of the stories that I read this week, it also strikes me as odd in the sense that this could be explained away by some type of human intervention, but it wouldn't make sense. And it's very weird and very liminal almost. I'm trying to think of the right word for it. It's Lynchian. The silhouette of this green figure pops up in this second story window where no one would be able to pop into because it's a second story with nothing below it unless they, you know, were on a ladder. All that the silhouette did was, it was a side view and it was smiling. And they said that all they could make out was the silhouette because of, it was like a frosted glass. And then it like motioned for them, for the kid to come to the window, which is a very creepy thing to do.
Yeah, the hand motion, that's what really makes it seem, I guess, more real. It's not just a quick glimpse of a silhouette. That's something that you don't really make up.
Mm-hmm.
It ties it in with a lot more detail that I think is a lot more convincing that something was there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this one gives me the same type of uneasiness that blue camcorder story did. Remember when the kids were in the garden looking up at the window and it was just those disembodied hands holding the camcorder? It's the same type of thing where the kid is seeing something that's seemingly impossible and uncanny and just strange. And then when the parents come up, it just moves away to the side, away from the window. It doesn't disappear. It literally moves.
Right.
Yeah. And it being in a window that nobody could reach makes it especially scary. I wonder how many of these like supernatural events that children experience are real, but because they're dismissed by parents, they're just kind of forgotten and pushed away as a bad dream or just a trick of the mind.
Probably most of them, I would imagine. I think most parents, it's safe to say, would maybe not necessarily jump straight to something paranormal, or if they do hear it from the kid, even if they get the full story, they may assume, whether they let the kid know or not, that it didn't really play out that way. It's just kids being kids. It's unfortunate, because I wonder how much we could really know if we took some more of these, I guess, accounts from kids as being something legitimate and actually happening is the way that they recall them happening.
Yeah, it's just strange because they would always say it's your imagination playing tricks on you or something like that. But like, yeah, I just understand that, like hearing a noise and imagining it's something else, or like seeing a shadow real quick or a glimpse of something real quick and your brain playing tricks on you. But to sit there wide awake, this wasn't a dream, to sit there wide awake and stare at a face and somebody beckoning you towards them, that's not just like a quick little your brain playing tricks on you. You're seeing something.
Yeah.
You're not hallucinating. You don't hallucinate as like a normal functional human child. Like,
no. And there would be more stories of that happening, more accounts, rather than
just
this one account, this one specific thing happening.
Yeah. And it is obviously impressionable enough for them to write about it years and years later. So I find this one to be extremely compelling, interesting, and creepy. I loved it.
Yes, indeed. Well, speaking of hands, how about those mirror handprints?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's funny this one came up because I'm reading a book right now and it's like a haunted castle story in Italy. It's very cool, very interesting. But one of the biggest cliches popped up where the mirror fogged up and they saw something in the reflection. I was just like, ugh, they really put that in here. But it is something that happens in real life. And this story brought back a memory from a house that we used to live in years and years ago. It was a new development, so it wasn't like some old haunted house. But we had this mirror in the bathroom that would often fog up. And we couldn't figure out why it was fogging up. But the funny thing is we just accepted it and we assumed that it had something to do with humidity in the room. And we didn't even give it a second thought. We just lived with this mirror that was fogged up all the time. And nothing else
did
fogged up.
Did the window fog up too, or just the mirror?
There was no window. It was in the middle of the house. Nothing else was moist in there, no condensation. It's just this mirror just kept fogging up and we couldn't explain it, but we didn't go to a supernatural explanation. We just went, oh, that's weird. And that was that.
Wow. No handprints or no wetness on the ground or anything, just a foggy mirror and that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Interesting. Well, it looks like Christine isn't alone here then after all, except she has these hands that show up even after she wipes the mirror off. That's what's super weird. I'm just gonna go ahead and say, do some additional security checks. I know that she checked the camera footage and everything, but there are some other ways you can validate your safety. Get some like evidence tape that police use or that they put over your bottle in the pharmacy. Really, really tamper proof, or it's evident if it's been tampered with.
Interesting.
So if somebody is entering through a window or anything else, just put a clear strip of that specific type of tape there. And if somebody were to break it or disturb it, you would know. And nobody just has that stuff handy to anticipate other people trying to catch them. And they're so discreet too. I recommend that for anybody really. If you think anybody's snooping through your stuff or you want some extra peace of mind, look up evidence tape and put it in a very unassuming part of an entry, and you'll know for sure if somebody's been snooping around. Whoa, that was a little weird. I don't know if you heard all that, but things kind of glitched out for us on Discord, so I don't know how much that we just missed, but I think we ended things at a cool note there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what was happening there. You froze for a while. Everything we said just kind of got lost in the mix, so let's just end things here because we've been going quite a while. And
sure.
Yeah. So yeah, make sure you send your stories into stories@oddtrails.com and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. Check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast, and we'll see you guys next week. Stay safe.
Peace out. Whoa. Peace out. Puberty.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba, and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Sheba.com.